الكريم. وريد السورة هود and as far as سورة هود is concerned, it is one of those surahs the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم have said that it made me old. And the reason why, in fact, some of the narrations will even state that after the revelation of Surah Hud, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a few white hairs, meaning that the surah had a toll and took a toll on Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the question is, why did it take a toll on him, and why is the surah very, very important? Amongst them is, there were the stories of various prophets, and what these various prophets went through is mentioned in this given surah. For example, وَإِلَىٰ عَادِنَا قَوْمُ هُودَ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ أَنْتُمْ بِهِ تَعْبُدُونَ يَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. These prophets are passing a message to the members and telling to the people, for example, Hud alayhi salam, that, you know, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, one of the things you must do and the most important thing to do is worship Allah. And each prophet is just saying that, worship Allah, worship Allah, worship Allah. The first and foremost thing we have to do if you want to convert or work with someone is get them to worship Allah. And unfortunately, that's not what we do. When we talk to people about Islam and the person is interested, we already start planning what name they must start getting. What name do you like? When coming to the name, that's the last thing you do. The first thing is get that person on La ilaha illallah. And after that, everything else begins from there on. So that's exactly what he said. يَا قَالَ يَا قُومِ عِبُدُ اللَّهِ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَّا غَيْرُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا مُفْتَرُونَ. And thereafter he said, يَا قُومِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. I'm not asking you for any ajr, any compensation. I'm not asking you for any wealth. I want you to worship Allah so you can gain benefit in this world as well as in hereafter. Number two, وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. That your next duty after worshipping Allah is make istighfar. Put your right life right, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, by you making istighfar and by you making tawbah, inshallah, Allah will accept and He will put you amongst that which is good. And if you don't do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down, of course, a punishment for you, send down stones, send down things that will hurt you and create pain for you. You know what they said? They said, bring it on. And this is the same problem we have with our young ones in today's time. You tell them to do anything, show me the proof. Is it really going to happen? You tell them you do bad things, you get punished, show me the punishment. And if you don't show them, they say, see, you can't bring punishment. This type of behavior has been already used in the past. That is why there was a brother that said it very good. He says, we want to make our children Muslims when they are 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. He says, then it's too late. Because once they are growing up, that's when you start making them listen to the Adhan, help them in giving the Adhan, teach them how to give the Adhan, teach them the various verses of the Quran, teach them the value of La ilaha illallah, read to them stories of the Prophet, Qasas al-Anbiya, read to them all these various things. When a person is 15, and then you start telling them, go to the masjid, or a person is 15, you tell them, well, now I want you to start concerning yourself about deen, it's not going to happen. Then they're going to challenge you, and in this case, also, they were challenging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, he says the following, إِنْ نَقُولُ إِلَّا عَتَرَاكَ بَعْضُ آلِيَتِنَا بِسُوءٍ. In other words, I see a very severe punishment coming down. قَالَ إِنِّي أُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ وَشَهْدُ أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. And this is all you can say. When someone refuses to do good, this is all you can say. إِنِّي أُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ. I continue testifying in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَشَهْدُ أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. And in reality, I am becoming free, bari of your shirk. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, Imam Shafi, for example, there's a book he has out there, and he talks about the various forms of shirk. You know, there are so many things that we do that sometimes is shirk that we don't even realize. Sometimes when we thank a person, thanking is not a problem, saying thank you, of course. But we don't say thank you with the intention that my Allah is making this person the means of giving it to me. We say thank you like, you know, you are the man. Because we know, if we say thank you very, very politely, then maybe instead of him giving $50 today, next time he give $100. Imam Shafi says this is shirk. And this is how we are as people. And of course, the various other forms of shirk, like for example, going to the grave and thereafter hoping that by going to a person's grave that we will get something from that person or our du'as will be accepted. You know, there are so many different ways of committing shirk. And my brothers and sisters, when you take part in that, it lowers the quality of your iman, it lowers the quality of your du'as, it lowers the quality of your salah, it lowers the quality of your relationship between yourself and Allah, it lowers the quality between the relationship between you and others as well. So therefore he said, أَنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. I am free from your shirk. إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ. That I, in essence, have total belief, total reliance on my Allah. That book I was talking about before, you must read, is called in English, The Reliance of the Traveler. It's a very good book also. But anyway, إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, he says, I rely, I give my reliance. Now what is تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ? And I'll just give you a simple definition through another hadith. Become like a bird. You know, a bird gets up in the morning. It gets up in the morning, it flies. It looks for its food, it gets its food. If it has babies, it feeds its babies, and thereafter it goes to sleep. And next morning, it starts again its life. And this is the reality. That's why birds chirp, they are so happy. When you look at us, we worried about 50 years from now what's going to happen. We have to get insurance for ourselves and everyone around us. We have to get a car for ourselves and everyone around us. We have to get a house for ourselves and make sure our children will get a house. We plan and plan and plan and plan. And in the end, when you are 65, 75, 85, what the kids say, I wonder when daddy and mommy are going to go so I can enjoy all this. You already gave him something. Now he's waiting to get what when you go so he can enjoy whatever little he can. And if the child knows in advance, mommy is going to give all the gold to this sister and not that sister, and daddy is going to give more share of the business with this, with that, forget it. The young son will not even make salam to you. And either if he sees you here, he'll even ignore you. And then you come to me and say, you know that son over there, he doesn't make salam to me. I know why he's not making salam to you. إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Because you didn't have reliance on Allah, you were relying on other things. He started relying on other things as well. So therefore, it is important to teach our children to become like that bird. Meaning, work hard, do good things, go to school, study, do all the right things. But at the end of the day, leave it to Allah. Leave it to Allah. And Allah will provide, Allah will bring barakah in whatever they have and has been given to you. And in essence, in ending, I will just conclude with this. Hud alayhi salam, he tried to share the message, he tried to do good things, he tried to tell the people to be the best they can. They refused, and thereafter he turned himself and said, إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, I turn myself and rely on Allah, who's my Allah and your Allah. مَا مِن دَابَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِحَتِهَا. You know, there is nothing that Allah doesn't grab by the forelock. That's basically what he's saying. Everything is in the control of Allah. The wind is in the control of Allah. The earth is in the control of Allah. The spinning of the earth and how it takes place in the control of Allah. The sunrise and the sunset is in the control of Allah. The moon, how it comes, when you see it, how you see it, at what angle you see it, is in the control of Allah. Your children are in the control of Allah. Your life is in the control. Everything, and we forget this, because we do our own planning, because we have our own agenda. مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا وَآخِرٌ مِنْ أَصْوَعَدِيَا. Everything is in the control of Allah. إِنَّ رَبِّي عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Verily, in essence, and we say this also in Surah Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Everything is on its trajectory as Allah wishes, and we also should get on the trajectory that Allah SWT wishes for us to get. And inshallah, by doing that, we will attain tremendous amount of goodness, blessedness in this world as well as in the hereafter. I will end up with one final point. Every prophet came with one message, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. Whether it's the people, whether it's Salih, you name it, each one, Nuh alayhi salam, Shu'aib, each one, Yusuf alayhi salam came in one message, U'budullah. Let's start practicing that ourselves and sharing that simple message to our families. Once we did that, everything else, inshallah, gradually will come right. May Allah help us and guide us at all times.